The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, Jesus said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as the lepers went, they were made clean. Then one of the lepers, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. The leper prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One night, a few years ago, I was awakened at 2:30 in the morning by the loud ring of my telephone. As I fumbled to find the switch on my bedside lamp, I put on my glasses and I answered that loudly ringing phone. Now on the other end of the phone, I was greeted by a polite yet quiet voice that introduced herself as Sandra, calling from the intensive care unit of the Regina General Hospital. In my best pretending to be wide awake and alert voice, I said, "Good morning, Sandra." I paused and then said, "How can I help you?" "Well, Pastor," Sandra said, "we have a family here having a difficult time taking their mother off of life support." The nurse then paused. "They've asked for a minister to come," she continued. "That is why I'm phoning you tonight." "Okay," I said. "I will be there as soon as I can." Now, after some time, trying to beautify myself, get rid of my bedhead and get dressed, I found myself driving to the hospital. And as I was driving towards the general hospital, many thoughts were running through my head. Because I was working for the Regina Health District as a student chaplain, I was somewhat a jack of all trades. But yet, I was a master of none. Because the health district called us students to be non-denominational chaplains, we were asked to serve as caring and as spiritual presence to all Christians, regardless of denomination, race, or creed. This was fine with me. But I was quickly learning that when it came to prayers, sacraments, liturgies, and end-of-life issues, different Christians cope and experience grief and loss very differently. Every family brings their own identity, their own experiences, their own stories to the bedside of death. Now, this family that I was going to be with to counsel at 3 a.m., I knew nothing about. They didn't know me, and I certainly didn't know them. All that I knew is that they had asked for me to be there. Now, I thought, when this family asked for a minister, a chaplain, what are their expectations? What did they hope that I could do? What did they hope that I could offer into their situation? If anyone here has ever been to a hospital late at night, they will know that hospitals are unique places in the quiet of the evening. They are eerily quiet. Oh, there's the background noise of machines pumping, small little beeps beeping, even people quietly talking or coughing. But more or less, when things settle down in the wee hours of the morning and the late hours of night, hospitals are a place of solitude and quietness. There are no grandchildren running through the halls with balloons. There are no patients up and down the hallways, maybe watching TV, chatting with other people. Hospitals are fairly quiet at night, and that is what greeted me when I arrived at the hospital. This is the way I found it at 3 a.m. As I approached the ICU desk, I was met with a smile by a young nurse who asked if I was the minister. I answered yes, as confidently as I could at least. Sandra, the nurse, then explained to me that her patient was an 89-year-old woman who had had a stroke last week and had never recovered. Up to this point, for the past week, she had been kept alive by mechanical means. But now the family and the doctors agreed that it was time to take this woman, this family's mother, off of life support. However, Sandra added, this family is having a difficult time with things. I will take you now to see them. Conventional wisdom says that there are no atheists in foxholes. The same can no doubt be said about hospital emergency rooms and intensive care units. In times of danger, in times of despair, our instincts override whatever theology may not or may affirm. And thus, we hurl ourselves, we hurl our pleas towards heaven, hoping for mercy. This is the case with that grieving family that late night. Even though this family, admittedly, as they told me, had not graced the doorway of a church for decades, except for the odd funeral or wedding, now during their darkest, during their saddest moments, they had turned to God for help. God to them, just like Jesus to the lepers in today's reading, had become their last hope. Medicine had failed them. Doctors had failed them. Hope had failed them. Now, all they found themselves left with was God. And that's why I was there. When disease or death threaten our lives, we pray for healing. But honestly, what we really want is a cure. It's important for us to note that to be healed and to be cured are not the same thing. Sometimes through our prayers and through the work of doctors and nurses, we get the cure that we are so desperately hoping for. But of course, sometimes that cure does not come. However, the patient who prays always receives healing. Even if the disease wins and death comes earlier than we would like, turning our lives over to God, turning our needs to the care of God, means that we do not suffer alone, and it means that we do not die alone. Whether we live in God's care or die into God's embrace, we have healing, we have wholeness. As today's gospel reading talks about, 10 desperate lepers once begged Jesus for mercy. All 10 of them received a cure. But, and this is the important part, only one of them, according to Christ, truly found healing. This was the one who, after being cured, praised Christ with the same vigor and the same energy that he had used to cry out with for help. The other 9? Who knows? They obviously felt so good about themselves that they had no time to come back to God and give God the thanksgiving that God deserved. And while their bodies may have appeared cured, their leprosy to have no longer existed, their spirits, according to Christ, were certainly not healed. It is said that a heart full of thanks is a sign of wholeness. And I have seen this many times personally. It often appears in the deathbed when the cure has not arrived, when modern medicine has failed. At some point during the process of sick and death, the faithful patient realizes that there is more to their life than just their bodily health. It is at this point that they turn to their faith, and that is when the healing power of God really takes hold of their lives. When that family, on that late night many years ago, invited me into their dying mother's hospital room, I did not know what their expectations of me were. Maybe they thought that somehow I would make everything better, that when I entered into the room, I would say the magical words, and their mother would rise from the dead like Lazarus. Of course, I do not have those magical words. They do not reside within me. But what I do have, what you have, is a knowledge of the most powerful story on earth. And that is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that, on that late evening, is what I shared with that family. Did it make things better? No. Did it end their sadness? No. But what it did do was that it gave that family a hope and the knowledge that this event that they were experiencing was not an end, but rather a beginning. It was hopefully the beginning of their mother's life with God, and hopefully, even more importantly, it was the beginning of their own relationship with Christ. You see, by sharing the gospel with that family and having the first-hand experience of the transforming power of God's love, it is now up to them to decide how they are going to respond. Are they going to be like the 9 lepers who, once their needs are happily met, went on their way never thinking about God again until they are faced with another crisis? Or is that family going to be like the 1 lone leper who, after experiencing the power of God firsthand, came back to offer praise and thanksgiving? The question is theirs. As a minister, I can do no more than to share the gospel with them and invite them to church to be part of God's community. God has done His part. Will they do theirs? I don't know. But the choice resides in them. I hope that they did fall through with their faith. After the machine was turned off, after their mother gently went quietly into that good night, we had a powerful time. A time of prayer, a time of thanksgiving, a time of really feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us in that room, as we rejoiced in the life that their mother led and in the presence of God now. But did they follow through on this encounter? Or were they like the 10 lepers? Were they like those 9 who experienced the healing power of God, who experienced the power of Christ, but yet, once their needs were met, they went on their way? Or as I pray, hopefully, they were like that 1 soul leper. The one who returned. The one who recognized God's grace. The one who recognized God's power. The one who prostrated himself before Christ and gave God the glory. I do not know. Whether it be in times of sorrow, peace, or discontentment, we would do well to remember these words of Christ ourselves. For it is our faith that will make us well. Amen.